Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time, a Tuesday morning to go all around the National Football League. Four NFL head coaches had their introductory press conference in front of their new fan bases yesterday, DRS, and we will hear from every single person in every single location. A lot of sound bites to react to in this opening hour and beyond. We'll talk college basketball on a dramatic Monday evening slate. 12 games around the association and a couple of game winners in the closing seconds there as well. So much over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
Absolutely. Can't wait to dip in to see where these coaches are going, but also more importantly, what they're saying. And sometimes you can't judge a book by its cover, because Judge, who was the coach for the New York Giants, you could have judged it. He had the worst introductory press conference I've ever seen, and it was hilarious the way it worked out. But you could look at Nick Sirianni and say the same thing. Boy, that was an awkward press conference. Now the winningest coach in NFL history through his first, let's just say, 4 to 5 years in the NFL. So we are going to get some sound bites, but there's one thing I do know is, you're supposed to instill, let's just say, expertise and a comfort level, get the fan base excited. Yes. There's one owner out there that might have their fan base running for the hills and putting on different hats of the Lakers, the Eagles, the Washington Commanders, the Giants, anything but their team. I'm not going to give that away, but I think they can guess, Ben, who that is.
I mean, it's so bad. They might switch to the NBA and put on their Lakers hat or their New York Yankees hat or maybe their Ohio State football hat. Because you know which fan base we are discussing. Oh boy, what a seat it was. Introducing Brian Schottenheimer yesterday at the Star, one of those four new NFL head coaches that met with the media and spoke in front of the microphone for the first time. Brian Schottenheimer in Dallas, Aaron Glenn with the New York Jets, Pete Carroll, the wily veteran at 73 years old, and his new GM, John Spytek, in Las Vegas. And Duval, says Liam Cohen, in Jacksonville as well. Again, DRS, in this opening hour, we will hear from everybody in every location for every NFL organization that had a big introduction yesterday.
I like that, too, because the one thing you can sort of bite on is, are we showing the whole press conferences? Like, do we even have to appear on this show? Like, if you want to show all four of those in its entirety, I'll be happy to comment on that and just sit back. Ben, I'm ready to go on this.
Basically, the early line next week when you guys are live in New Orleans will just be Donnie, Kevin, and Lacey talking throughout the show. But there is so much to get to. And if we played at least the entirety of a 10-minute soundbite from Jerry Jones that led to tears, that led to him talking about his expertise and his background, that might be the biggest ratings we could ever see. But some more drama around the NBA. Yesterday, DRS, after Jimmy Butler walked out of shoot-around for the Miami Heat when he was told, hey, we're bringing you off the bench from now on, he has been suspended indefinitely by the Heat. What is happening? Get rid of this guy some way or another.
Nope. Like, as a Sixers fan, we were starting to cheer on this as like James Harden. Like, you know what? I'd rather sabotage the season and let Jimmy Butler not get his way at this point, because whether you make a trade or not, the Heat are going nowhere this year. And understand this from a trade standpoint. The Phoenix Suns, are you watching this? This is your team in about 16 to 18 months right now. And you're going to trade anything more than a second round pick for this guy who has completely given up on every single organization he's ever played with. And last time I checked, ain't no rings on that finger.
DRS bringing the heat early on Jimmy Butler. But I will say, as much as I think Pat Riley would like to win the battle in terms of what is happening right now with Jimmy Butler in South Beach, if there was a viable trade option that made sense for two parties, multiple parties, three parties, it probably already would have occurred to alleviate some of the concern for Miami. It is not. Why? That will remain the question. But for the moment, Jimmy Butler suspended once again, this time indefinitely. Let's get to the actual basketball, because it was great yesterday, especially in college hoops. Number three, Iowa State on the road in Tucson, taking on Arizona. The Cats booked as a 2.5-point home favorite. In the confidence in Caleb Love, that never dwindles. Down by three with 2 seconds left. Love, a heave from three-quarter court in regulation. Good. Sends the game to overtime, and in the extra session, Arizona pounces. They win 86-75 in OT over number three, Iowa State.
It is pretty crazy, too, because you look at Arizona improves to 14-6, but actually 8-1 in conference play and unranked. College basketball is the only species out here that we can get the number three team on the road as an underdog. That doesn't happen in college football, where number three in the land goes on the road against an unranked team and is not at least laying 6 to 7 points in that game. But this is college basketball. It's what we love to watch it play out. That was an unbelievable victory here. No Hilton Magic. Why? You weren't in Hilton last night, Iowa State.
In Tucson, the unranked home favorite against the top 25 foe, a very strong trend in CBB, despite the fact it looked like the clones were going to win in regulation. Caleb Love, 4 of 13 from deep last night, one of them from about 70 feet away to send the game in to overtime. The Duke Blue Devils are running a rough shot around the ACC. A 21.5-point favorite last night in Durham against NC State. Sure, the magical Final Four run a year ago, but sub-500 this season. 21.5-point favorite. Duke was down at the half. They had to rally in the second, led by Cooper Flagg, scoring 23 of his 28 in the final 20 minutes, as the Blue Devils still find a way of winning by double digits, 74-64.
Usually a bad three-point shooting team, NC State. You watch that opening, let's just say, first 10 minutes. They were splashing it as if they were just the Splash Brothers out there. But sooner or later, the better team is going to overwhelm, and they did that in the second half. That was Duke. 41 points for them in the second half. Great defense holding the Wolfpack to only 27. And, of course, Cooper Flagg, 8 of 17 from the floor, 11 of 13 from the free throw line. 28 points in that game to pace the Duke Blue Devils as it should be.
10-0 for the Dukies in ACC play. They have won 8 of their 10 games now by double digits, despite the fact they did not really come all that close to covering last night against the Pack. More late game drama in basketball, but now we go back to the NBA. We called it a finals preview. And I think we need to take the Houston Rockets very seriously. As DRS predicted, Houston plus 6.5, never in doubt. In Amen Thompson continues the best streak of his career, a career best 33 points in the game-winning floater near the buzzer as the Rockets win outright in Beantown.
Absolutely. Measuring stick game here. Take those 6.5 points. I thought that line showed a lot of respect to the Houston Rockets, and it proved true yesterday. That's tough to go into Boston and win games, even though Boston actually has 9 losses on their home court. Could have fooled me on that one. Yeah. But we were looking straight ahead to the Rockets last night, handled their business, and maybe some people sprinkled a little on that money line.
As you should, Houston is 8-6 outright as a dog this year. The only team around the association with a winning record outright as an underdog. Time to wake up, Mac McClung. The NBA dunk contest is now set. McClung will go for 3 straight. Steph Castle, the rookie in San Antonio. Modest Bouzelis, who I learned last night they call Little Boozy Vert. That's pretty fun in Chicago. Wow. And Andre Jackson Jr., that is the quadruple of people competing in the dunk contest.
Absolutely. And by the way, an inspiration to so many people, that Mac McClung out here. I mean, since Mac McClung's winning dunk contests, Will Shipley's running wild in the NFL. We got superstar cornerbacks, you know, in Philadelphia like Cooper DeJean. It's a crazy party, Ben. I just tell me a little bit more about Mac McClung that I don't know, please.
Mac McClung now in Orlando, DRS. If he could have been with Delaware or Philadelphia, what a time it would have been in regional Philadelphia for those exciting guys. How about some TGL? First overtime match, Tiger Woods head-to-head against Rory McIlroy. Jupiter Lynx Golf Club wins. That's Tiger's team. Cool. All right, now we'll get you all the sound bites you need from the introductory press conferences around the NFL yesterday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yesterday in the National Football League was a day of introduction for four NFL teams. The Cowboys, the Jets, the Raiders, and the Jags all introducing their new head coach and general manager to everybody, to the media, to the fan base, to the National Football League as a whole. So here for the entirety of this opening hour, we would go to all four spots in Dallas, Jacksonville, New York, and of course Las Vegas to hear from those individuals. And Donnie, of course, we have to start at the Star. It was one of the weirdest scenes you will ever see yesterday in Dallas. It was basically Jerry Jones trying to prove to everybody once again while he calls the shot, why he has the power to make these coaching decisions. It was awkward from the very start. Here were the guys getting out on stage just to introduce Brian Schottenheimer. I believe we have, there it is. Look at all of them kind of sitting down, hanging out. You've got Steven, Jerry's kid. You've got Brian Schottenheimer in the middle. And, of course, Jerry Jones on the far right. Weird. I mean, all of that is – you've got the big room. What it – all of that is super, super strange. And Donnie, as we said, we're not trying to slander Brian Schottenheimer. We'll hear from Dallas's new head coach in just a moment. But it's the situation in the atmosphere behind this coaching hiring that led to a super weird press conference yesterday.
But I don't mind the setup, but we have an issue with the setup out there for what they have. Like, what was the issue for you on them sitting down together in those chairs? Do you have an issue with that?
No, I don't have an issue with that. I don't think Stephen Jones needs to be there. He doesn't do anything except being daddy's errand boy. I think it's the fact they sit down. Right, here we go. All of us all together. Stephen Jones really doesn't do anything. They sit here. Nobody shakes hands. They go down, and now Brian Schottenheimer's like, this is weird.
Got the big room.
Let me tap you guys. And then Jerry goes, you've got the big room, as in, like, welcome to being the Cowboys' new head coach.
Yeah, like if we're reading body language too, like the fact that Jerry Jones needs to drink water immediately the second he sits down means like, oh boy, this is going to be tough. I better prepare myself because I'm going to get questions, as opposed to probably let me sit down and be like, you know what? Let me start this press conference off myself. We just hit the biggest home run in Dallas Cowboys history right now with this head coaching hire of Ben Johnson. Oops, didn't work out that way.
Absolutely so. When you are drinking water, you are getting ready to speak a ton. And Donnie, an introductory press conference should be the best one of your career. It should be excitement. It should be optimism. It should be questions about the direction of a franchise from a positive perspective. From the very jump, it was not that yesterday at the Star. But again, here is Brian Schottenheimer, a guy that has worked in Dallas the last 3 years, the previous two as the offensive coordinator, on his direction for Dallas moving forward.
You don't belong in this organization if you don't value relationships. This business has never been about X's and O's. It's about people. And when I thought about it, I can't imagine sitting up here with a better group of people, a better family to do this with. So I thank you guys for that opportunity. And lastly, the type of people that we want, people that love this game. The game of football has given me so much, my family so much, but if you're not passionate about the game of football and the shield and what it represents, then you're probably in the wrong line of business.
You take Brian Schottenheimer for his word. Of course, his father, Marty Schottenheimer, a legend in head coaching circles around the National Football League. Schottenheimer himself has been in the NFL since 1997, 24 years as an assistant, nearly a decade and a half working as an offensive coordinator. A big opportunity for him, but you heard it right there. I could not think of a better family to be around. That is why he is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, because he still believes in Jerry Jones.
Yeah, and you would if he hired you and paid you all that money to say, you know what, coach my football team. He's not going to sum up there. You know what, man? I looked around the league. But it's a shame Sirianni has never gotten fired there. I always wanted that job, but I had to settle for the Dallas Cowboys, and maybe I'll be the first one to make it back to the Super Bowl. Now, there is something of that, you know, cachet being the Cowboys coach, even though for the past 30 years it's been a disaster job overall because you can't win anything and you're expected to win, and you go back to the 1990s when that's some success, and now there's no success at this point. So I think he's actually coming in at a good time, because let's just say he was, you know, four out of the last 5 years, or like a Kansas City type Super Bowl run in Dallas. Like, ooh, I have a lot of expectations to hold up to. You have no expectations in Dallas. It should be a dream job, because yes, it's an NFL head coaching job, but what are your parameters? If you get to an NFC championship game, do they build a statue outside the stadium for Brian Schottenheimer? Because 99.9% of Dallas fans today have never seen a Super Bowl championship, let alone an NFC championship appearance. So as long as he comes in and can possibly get them to one over the next 2 to 3 years, he's a legend in Dallas. That's a loser franchise.
Absolutely so, DRS, because they have not reached a conference championship since 1995. But it was very simple, and Jerry Jones understood what the question would be. How did you get Brian Schottenheimer? Why did you hire Brian Schottenheimer? What was the scenario behind this decision? All right, Jerry, take it away.
Now, I get my proverbial ass kicked over needing people in my comfort zone. Without this thing being about me in any way, if you don't think I can't operate out of my comfort zone, you're so wrong. It's unbelievable. This is as big a risk as you could take. As big a risk as you could take. No head coaching experience. Now, let me share something with you. With all of that, you've just heard him reference his osmosis, his family. Anybody in this room that doesn't believe the apple doesn't go far from the tree has missed it someplace down the road, especially if there was an effort to make it that way, and there was an effort. But then you go around to the countless numbers of coaches that Shoddy has served on staff with and been around, the countless players. How often do you have someone that has 25, I'm going to say 25, it may be 26, of years of working through the human relationship and working, aspiring to learn, of have his ears and eyes wide open and looking for techniques and looking for things that make coaches better.
We wanted you to hear all of that. We're coming up on the commercial break. Our reactions to what Jerry Jones had to say yesterday in Dallas? Yeah, those are coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four new NFL head coaches introduced yesterday at their various new jobs, including in Dallas. And what a theatrical show it was. Right before the commercial break, we played you a minute and 17-second video, an answer from Jerry Jones that was a part, Donnie, of a 10-minute emotional ramble that led Jerry Jones to have some tears, that led to Jerry Jones basically telling everybody, you don't know ball, and I do. It was a minute and 17 that we showed of a 10-minute answer simply to a question that said, why did you hire Brian Schottenheimer? If he seemed a little bit defensive, maybe we can understand why.
I got to tell you one thing. I have no idea what Jerry Jones said in that minute plus clip at that point.
Yeah.
But you know what I did see? A visual. Dak Prescott smiling in the first row with a Washington Commanders hat on from what I saw there. So there you go, Jerry. I'm so happy. I'm rooting for Washington to win the NFC Championship game, and so be it. It's funny where you give, because Jerry's always been in the spotlight. And that's one of the detriments that if you are a coach for the Cowboys, like usually the owner stays in the background and he will meet with you privately and get his thoughts on what the team should be and maybe calling the plays himself. But it never gets released. Like, Jerry's the guy that is the first interview after the game ends. No players, no coaches. He gets that. Then he has his own radio show and tells you the State of the Union address for his team every single week. So for the fact that he's basically saying, I have to have this press conference. I need the microphone because I know how bad this hire was. Like, you know, we do segments on Pro Football Today on the Sunday desk, you know, sell me something. Jerry Jones just had his own sell me something on why he hired him as a head coach and why he should continue to be the general manager, make every decision, which included, well, I wanted to be a coach at one time, but I wanted a big car and a big house. And but by the way, coaches now do have big cars and big houses, which I don't know where he was going with that at this point here. So he was rambling all the way through, but it was simple. You should have sat up there and goes, I don't need to speak today. This man is such a good coach. He now has the microphone and the Dallas Cowboys. When Jerry was like, well, I need to go out here and put on a show just to make sure people understand why I hired Schottenheimer at the end of the press conference. I still don't know why he hired Brian Schottenheimer. How about that?
And it actually worked in reverse, DRS, because everything that he tried to say from that defensive approach almost made it seem even worse in the answer he gave right there, calling it the greatest risk of his career to hire a head coach with zero head coaching experience, despite 14 seasons as an NFL offensive coordinator. Jerry, you just made yourself sound incredibly dumb at the earnest of trying to say that you are operating outside of your comfort zone, but you're really not, because you're bringing in a guy that has been within your organization that had no other head coaching buzz outside of Dallas. So you're almost speaking in circles to make the decision sound foolish. If you thought that was bad, and Jerry said it, the apple don't fall all that far from the tree. All right, Stevie, you're up. Here's Stephen Jones in Dallas yesterday.
You know, you always have to evaluate, you know, where it didn't go right last year. And obviously we're also evaluating where it didn't go right, you know, in terms of, you know, this drought that people say we're in terms of a championship game or a Super Bowl. And, you know, we just have to continue to make this roster better. It'll certainly be something that Jerry, myself, Will and his staff, and now Coach Shoddy and his staff, you know, we'll sit down and take a look and see what we have to do better. I think we got a lot of great pieces. You ask why Shoddy? I think Shoddy's the perfect combination of keeping some continuity, but also affecting change. And we have to support that as well.
Now, that answer made everybody in Dallas as mad as you could possibly be, more than Jerry Jones getting emotional, more than his weird ramblings on why he should have been a head coach back in 1977. Stephen Jones saying in air quotes, the drought the Dallas Cowboys are on since last winning a Lombardi Trophy in 1995, never even reaching the NFC Championship game. Yeah, Donnie, that drew the ire of Dallas, and so rightfully so.
And the thing I took away from that, too, is it's completely delusional. But this is, again, professional sports, being an owner is a different realm than anywhere you've ever been. If you are the CEO, let's just say, of Starbucks or AT&T or whatever, and you have to self-evaluate. Why? Because, oh, my God, we lost so much money last year. I'm going to get fired unless I make changes. The Dallas Cowboys every year will print money. So for the owner and the owner's son to say, we're going to self-evaluate to see what's happening here, there's no pressure to make any changes whatsoever. Nope. If the Cowboys go 0-17 next year, they will make more money than any other NFL team because that's what they do, being the biggest brand in sports. My takeaway here is the whole place is delusional down there because why? There's no accountability.
We'll continue next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Drought is defined as a noun, a prolonged period of abnormally low rainfall, leading to a shortage of water. That is the definition of drought. But in football terms, if we were to take out the words rainfall and substitute it perhaps for playoff victories, in shortage of water to shortage of Super Bowls, that would define the Dallas Cowboys. I believe that Stephen Jones needs a dictionary next to his side at every single moment. Because Donnie, America's team in branding, and a team that had great success throughout the 80s and 90s, led by Jerry Jones, but of course Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, the list goes on and on at the star. There was only the pinnacle of the sport of which the Cowboys were defined by. Well, their last Super Bowl championship, as has been well documented, 1995. In the 29 NFL seasons since, nearly going on three decades, the Cowboys have never reached an NFC championship game. In fact, it now gets even worse, because Jaden Daniels, leading the Commanders to the NFC title game this season, was Washington's first bid to the conference championship since 1991. The Cowboys are now the only team in the NFC, 16 organizations on that side of the league. The Cowboys are the only team in the NFC, DRS, since 2010 to not make the NFC championship game. And their drought, because it is a drought, goes back 15 years even prior to that.
It's specifically on the ownership group, and that ownership group obviously is Jerry Jones. Understand this in the evolution of Jerry Jones. He had some great ideas starting when he first bought the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody was furious that they got rid of Tom Landry, but the time had run out for Landry for the Dallas Cowboys. They wanted a new look for that franchise. He reaches out to his old college football buddy who was dominating college football in Jimmy Johnson. And understand this, usually you'd be so happy to be an owner, like, I swung and hit the biggest home run you're ever going to see. I have the best coach in the NFL that understands what talent means to him and how these football players will play. I'm winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl. But you know what? Every time I read those press clippings, Ben, it says Jimmy Johnson is getting all the credit here. I want the credit. I own this team. So this is pre-salary cap era. Fires Jimmy Johnson, which is unbelievable. Brings in Barry Switzer. The team was so talented, they won in spite of Barry Switzer. Salary cap comes in. They haven't won since then. The reason I bring that up is because Jimmy Johnson would sit in that room and be like, Jerry, you're my good friend here. I am making every decision here, and we are winning Super Bowls. Stay out of this equation. So then they go down a little bit of a lull, and they go, you know what, Jerry Jones? I'm going to learn from the past here. Let me bring in a coach that's going to stand in front strong, have his opinions, and lead us to a championship. That was Bill Parcells. It didn't work out. And if you remember the famous quote when he was let go, which tells you everything you need to know about the ownership group, if they want you to cook the dinner, at least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries. So basically, Bill Parcells, multi-time Super Bowl champion, NFL, you know, Hall of Fame head coach, and Jerry Jones was saying, Bill, I don't care who you want at left tackle. I make those decisions. I make every decision as a franchise. And Parcells was like, I don't need this anymore. I'm leaving. That should tell you everything over the past 20 years now since Bill Parcells was there is wrong with Dallas, because the coach is brought in as a lapdog for the Jones boys.
Brian Schottenheimer will now be the seventh head coach in Dallas. Barry Switzer, after he won that Super Bowl, was there for a few more years and then let go. Brian Schottenheimer will now be the seventh head coach since Switzer was let go in the late 1990s. And you might say, for an organization that judges itself and evaluates itself, as it would seem, only by championships in the NFC, or at least a Super Bowl championship as well, that's not all that many head coaches. Is Jerry loyal? Jerry's not loyal. Jerry likes leverage. DRS said it beautifully. It is delusional in Dallas. They are sacrificing wins and significant playoff victories just for control and still making sure the bottom line is great. Cowboys fans, I really do feel for you. I do, because you have an owner that is sabotaging his own success just so he can tell you that he's the most successful man in the room. The ego and the elite nature of which both the Jones family put on display yesterday is not one that I am jealous of and one that I feel sorry for that Cowboys fans have to deal with. DRS, any final thoughts on Dallas and Brian Schottenheimer before we turn our attention to Aaron Glenn in his introductory press conference with the New York Jets yesterday.
Just real quick on the Cowboys, because it is amazing how they still have such a strong fan base. Like, my daughter's 13 years old, and I said, you don't understand how lucky you are to grow up in an Eagles household with three Super Bowl appearances since 2017. I told her, when I was growing up, like, just learning about football, the first Super Bowl I watched start to finish was the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots. But every year was like, okay, you get a Super Bowl party, but never even thought of that the Eagles could ever sniff even playing in the Super Bowl at this time. I can't imagine if, like, the Dallas Cowboys household, because you still get it now. And eventually it will change. Like, we got five Super Bowl. Like, nobody remembers any of that. There are no cap. Like, I'm not even sure. Like, you have to go back to a VCR and plug that in to see anything of success for the Dallas Cowboys. It has been that long here. So that whole, like, once they finally get to the pinnacle and what the ratings will be there. As I joke, like, 99% of the Cowboys fans never remember anything resembling a championship team or organization from one of the storied football programs that we've ever seen in the NFL. It's wild how things change. But the Dallas Cowboys to never play in an NFC championship game for 30 years with that franchise that spends more money and has more branding power than anybody, that players like Derrick Henry were like, I'll take a pay cut to play for the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones like, don't think you're good enough. Rico Dowdle's better than you. Like, that's just the craziness of the Cowboys run for the past 30 years needs to be examined.
And as you said, it is Jerry Jones and his decision-making that is actively working against his own success, trying to guide the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. We will talk about Brian Schottenheimer and Dallas's expectations entering the 2025 NFL campaign a little bit later on. Aaron Glenn also introduced yesterday in New York. All signs around Aaron Glenn is that he possesses the mentality to invigorate an organization, to fire up his team. He tried to do that in front of the media yesterday as well.
Players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges. But with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this. Yeah.
Now, that's some heat right there. That is some passion. That is some vigor from Aaron Glenn, more than they have had in New York in a long time. Of course, the word that was bleeped out rhymes with hit. DRS, what did
Why
you
can't
make
we play that?
Of Aaron? What?
And Pat McAfee would play that. Come on now, let's step our game up here.
Former Sports Grid, well, not employee, but Pat McAfee formerly on the Sports Grid Network. We're a family-friendly program, though. But DRS, what did you make of Aaron Glenn's introductory statement to everybody in the New York metropolitan area?
Refreshing. And the reason I say this, the guys played in New York, I love that. But also, what was missing from the New York Jets? I don't know, since Rex Ryan, let's just say, left, and the Mark Sanchez team that went to the AFC Championship game. Accountability. That team was so talented, Ben, over the past 2 years. Now, understandably, and you know, Aaron Rodgers going down on play number three, basically, of their season 2 years ago, that really set the franchise back. But you couldn't see coming into the season, go, let me get this straight. Every single position they can win at. Their defense is phenomenal. Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Weapons at wide receiver. A young, fresh backfield that you have. An offensive line that's rebuilt, but nobody had any accountability for the losses. You would watch them play an inferior opponent with talent and just get wasted out there going like, I don't understand. Because it's accountability. The one thing I love about Aaron Glenn coming over from Detroit is there was account. As much as I hated some of the things that Detroit did, there was accountability in that room. Those players played for that coach and played for that city. That's what the Jets are missing. And I think that's not going to no longer, I think that's the point and key made yesterday is going forward, the Jets will have accountability. And I'm looking forward to see Aaron Glenn with the green.
And you need to ingratiate yourself to New York. They get behind that kind of fervor. We'll see if it actually works. And of course, we'll hear from the owner, Woody Johnson, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue with all of the quotes and the sound bites that you need from yesterday's introductory press conferences around the NFL. Four new head coaches introduced. We spent a while in Dallas, rightfully so. Now we are in New York. We just heard from Aaron Glenn trying to fire up gangrene's fan base. Here's owner Woody Johnson on the future of the New York Jets, and namely quarterback position, that being Aaron Rodgers.
What's your personal feeling about Aaron Rodgers returning?
I'm going to leave that to them. You know, they've got to take a look at how the team's composed and what they think they need and put all that together.
Would you welcome Aaron Rodgers back if your coach and general manager would like to go that route?
Absolutely. Yeah, if they want him back, Aaron's a talent for sure. He's a Hall of Famer.
Will you voice your opinion on that, Woody, or is it really just on specific?
No, I'm not going to voice my opinion. Okay. No, that's up to them.
Listen, we take Woody Johnson at his word. That's a really good sign for Aaron Glenn and new Jets general manager who was introduced yesterday, Darren Moogie. So that's good news. I guess if you are the Jets, we'll talk about Aaron Glenn's reaction to all the questions about his QB in just a moment. But Donnie, you were shaking your head in reaction to Woody Johnson. Please explain further.
This is why the Jets have been run this way under Woody Johnson. You are the owner. Of course you're going to be there. That microphone gets in your face and says, I hired these gentlemen to make football decisions. It doesn't matter what I think. Whatever path they choose, I will support it 100%. Because he started to go down that path, and then a reporter asked him, would you like Aaron Rodgers back? Absolutely, if they want him back. You just undermined your entire football staff in 1 5-second clip right there. Why did that let slip get out? Because now you know behind the scenes the influence is, did I actually go through that GM meeting and be like, what do you want from Aaron Rodgers? And Moogie goes, well, I hope I guess this right. Love him to come back next year. That's my GM right there. Hire him right there. Understand what your job is. You could go behind the scenes and wreck your entire franchise and it doesn't matter. But just don't do it in front of the public where now your answer was, absolutely, you would welcome it back. It wasn't even kept, like, let's just say, if I ask Kevin on the desk on Sunday, like, hey, what are you trying to do here with this general manager here? Forget about that. Or Joe. I'm asking you, Ben. Like, what happens if I would have told you that my owner is absolutely saying, absolutely, I would welcome this guy back, or absolutely, I don't want him back? The answer would have been to anybody here that I ask, what are you doing here? Just say, I hired these guys to run the football team. We'll find out what they do over the next coming weeks here. Instead, he said, absolutely, I'd welcome him back if my general manager wants him, which means no. You're putting that thought out there. You want him back, and you hope your general manager does too. Awful. Awful.
Right. And based on all the reports, by the way, about how things soured with Robert Saleh, how the end of this disastrous season played out in Florham Park, Woody Johnson does not seem to be a hands-off owner. Might he have other business to attend to in a certain appointment of diplomatic nature in a foreign land that could save the New York Jets and Aaron Glenn's start to his job? That remains to be seen. Aaron Glenn was asked numerous times in the actual press conference meeting with reporters off the stage yesterday about the quarterback situation. Aaron Glenn on Aaron Rodgers, quote, this thing is not about Aaron Rodgers. This is about the roster. He was asked further and basically said, you're not going to get me. I'm not telling you specifically what we are doing at the quarterback position. I don't necessarily know what they are going to do, but one thing I would hope for Aaron Glenn, because I like the guy, I hope he will be a successful head coach, he should get rid of Aaron Rodgers. It is not worth having Aaron Rodgers on your payroll as a part of your team, certainly not as a leader in your locker room. The experiment has failed. Is there a quarterback out there at the moment better than Aaron? I'd take Sam Darnold back in New York more than I would Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins or somebody else. Donnie, I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is the answer at this present time for the New York Jets moving forward with a rookie head coach in Aaron Glenn.
He's not, but hear me out on this. Sometimes, you know, human element comes in here. You have if you bring Aaron Rodgers back, you have a free year for the general manager and the quarterback. If it works out, you're geniuses. If it doesn't, what did you want to happen? Aaron Rodgers was fried. We couldn't get rid of him due to the salary cap restraints. But I'll tell you this right now. This will tell me a lot about this organization and the confidence of the general manager and the head coach. Because, Ben, if they do move off him and just say cut him or trade him and they take that massive cap hit, understanding that this is the best thing for our football team, I love decisions like that. But also, I can't fault the easy decision for preserving your job is I'm going to get an extra year if I keep Aaron Rodgers around here. I do want to see what they do because either way, you can argue for or against it. But if they cut Aaron Rodgers, that means you know the general manager, and the head coach are in charge, and they are going to strip this thing down to the studs and rebuild it in their shape or form. That's what I'm hoping to look forward to over the next 2 to 3 weeks, because this decision can't be prolonged either, by the way.
Certainly so, DRS. And Aaron Rodgers, unlike the last time he went to the darkness and then emerged out of it, said he will not keep the New York Jets up. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is not exactly the most truthful guy in the world, but we'll see if he holds up his end of the bargain this time around. And that's also a component of this conversation, right? Aaron Rodgers might say, I'm 41 years old. I don't really have it in the tank anymore. I'm good. I'm going to focus on other things outside of football. He could elect to retire. What a gift that would be to Darren Moogie and Aaron Glenn in their first year in New York. The Jets, by the way, hold the 7th overall draft pick, so not necessarily in line as of this moment to select a quarterback in the opening round of the 2025 NFL draft. All right, we're coming up in this final minute on the break. It might be a little bit tight to hear from a couple of other head coaches that were introduced yesterday. That includes Pete Carroll in Las Vegas and Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. We will hear from both of those gentlemen on the other side of the break. We've heard from Pete Carroll a ton, not necessarily Liam Cohen. You know one thing that stood out to me, Donnie, because we're going to make some fun of Liam Cohen and he deserves it on the other side of the break. Although you know who Liam Cohen is, you really haven't heard him speak all that often. And anytime you hear a guy speak for the first time, just a little bit off-putting.
Yeah, man, maybe so. You can't match it up here. It's like sometimes you get confused. Like, how good is that football player? Why have I not known about this football player before? It catches me off guard all the time, man. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yes, it certainly does. Once you peel back the curtain or lift the lid in certain parts, you start to learn a lot. We'll learn from Pete Carroll and Liam Cohen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Four introductory press conferences yesterday for four new NFL head coaches in their new spots. Three of the four, first-time NFL head coach. The other one, that's Pete Carroll, who has been an NFL coach for nearly two decades, spent 14 seasons in Seattle, of course, was let go at the end of the 2023 NFL campaign, and now, at 73 years young, is in Las Vegas as the Raiders' new head coach. Let's hear from Pete. We'll do so right now.
Mark figured out how valuable it would be to put Tom Brady in this mix and bringing that kind of football background and history. Mark made a great move, and it's our job to celebrate that for Mark and to make sure that this comes to life the way it can with the great possibilities and the great future and the immediate future as well. So my hat's off to you guys. I'm so fired up that we're doing this together, and it's going to be unique. Then they're going to be surprised what comes.
DRS, of all the press conferences yesterday, Pete and his new GM, John Spytek, seemed like they had a handle on the situation better than most, as would not be surprising for a guy that's been doing this in the National Football League for nearly two decades, and of course, even longer at the collegiate level. You said it. Pete Carroll finding this job in Las Vegas, not necessarily about the football, but the perks that come with it and just providing that stable foundation in Sin City. Do you think Pete Carroll will have the opportunity to do so?
Look, it's like going home and you sit on your couch and you say, you know what? I just dropped my phone in between the little, you know, seams here. You go look for your phone. Yeah. You find a $20 bill. That's what Pete Carroll did. Like, I can't even believe I'm head coach again. You kidding me? It's going to be the most fun ever. Wait till you see the surprises and the pizza parties we're going to have on Fridays and Saturday. Oh, wait, Pete. Oh, sorry. We're coaching an NFL football team at this point here. And I said this. Yeah. I love the hire for the Raiders. I think it's a fantastic hire because you're going nowhere, but you need somebody to steward that ship and say, you know what? I'm at least guiding this in the right direction, and I will make sure I leave this in a better place than I found it here. That's what I like about it. So to get excited as a Raiders fan that Pete Carroll's your head coach, not necessarily at this point, but obviously Tom Brady's pulling the strings, a complete winner on and off the football field. That's a guy that I do want to work for in an organization. As I said again, Pete's not winning anything. His only job is to be a steward of that franchise to make sure it's better in 2 years when he gets fired.
It felt comforting, though, to see Pete Carroll back in NFL circles. We'll see what Las Vegas does. 3-year contract, 4th-year team option. How involved is the new minority owner in Tom Brady, his buddy from college, and, of course, during their time in Tampa together, John Spytek, the new GM, the guy you saw to the right of Pete Carroll in yesterday's introductory presser. Liam Cohen, first-year head coach now in Jacksonville. Wild situation that led to Cohen, as we know, last week in a 48-hour window to become the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. In what county in Florida?
Jacksonville. The community. Duval.
I love it. Oh, I love it, man.
There's always one, right? Every time you go around the NFL and you have 7 vacancies, one still outstanding, by the way, that would be the New Orleans Saints. You're always going to have one press conference and one clip and one soundbite where you go, hey boy, you better hope this works out or that's going to be circulated a ton. Liam Cohen saying Duval was that yesterday.
He's got to feel good, though, because honestly, like, is it your dream job to take over the Jacksonville Jaguars? Not necessarily when you're growing up as a kid. Like, that's a head coaching job I want. But understand how he fell into this job. An owner that is basically beholden to him by saying, like, whatever you tell me, I'm going to make changes here. You want the general manager fired? You want my son fired from the organization? I probably will do that as well. Do you want more money than Ben Johnson's going to get at this point? Understand me. Do you want me to sell AEW wrestling? I will do that tomorrow, which will break the heart of some of the people working here at the Sports Grid Network. But I love I think it's a great job for Liam Cohen at this point now, because he has every say he wants, more money than you can possibly dream of, job security out the wazoo, and also a pretty talented roster to get started with. So I think he's a big winner here.
Listen, I'll just say this. I know somebody who's not going to be involved in the TK interview on Radio Row in the Big Easy. But outside of that moment, which, of course, Liam Cohen got shelled for on social media, rather embarrassing for him. He actually did have a lot of worth to say yesterday, especially about building this organization centralized around Trevor Lawrence, a guy that he saw when he was recruiting as the offensive coordinator for Maine back in 2015, 2016, a guy that he believes in thoroughly. Again, promising building blocks for Jacksonville. Hour number 2, that's up next.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.